Want answers quickly to any question you have? Want to solve any problem or issue almost immediately? Well, the Help Bus website has amazing resources that will help you quickly improve any area of your life. The Help Bus will greatly assist you with your health, finances, business, education, job, home, garden, family, parenting, and so much more. Also get two free gifts when you visit the website at helpbus.net. So why not visit right now?
We've arrived. This is Niacom Express, and I want to do this for you again. I did it for you yesterday. You've made it through your day. This is for you. Yes. All for you. Yeah.
Made it.
It's a more projection. Well, that's for you, too. And for you, made it.
Yep. Almost Friday.
One more.
Okay.
Wonderful. You realize that greater is he that is in you than he was in the world. You've made it through those different things that's been said to you. Mocha J, you've made it through some rough moments in your day. Might have been a little pocket holes here and there, but you've made it through. You didn't get out of place. You stayed in your position, and you maintained who you are in Christ.
Yes.
So we applaud you today. I applaud myself. I applaud everyone.
I applaud you too.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, sometimes we need that. We need that little shot. Shot in the arm to boost us, and that shot, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to boost us and get us ready for tomorrow. I want to applaud everybody that's been tuning in week by week. You've been encouraged with Mocha J, myself, Brother Daryl Spence, and with Ashawin and Nita B. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in and bringing us to a place where we're about to launch out into television. And not only follow us here, follow us over there. We want you to see what we look like. You know, we want you to feel us, because we feel you right now when we're ministering to you. But we want you to see us. We're just as human as you are. We get dealt with the same trials and tribulations and persecutions and everything that you go through, and sometimes, you know, taxing on us. I was talking to a coworker today. You know, she got a lot of stuff laid on her. She's listening now. Now, you said you're going to call in. Go ahead and call in now. But, you know, but you know what? She can do all things through Christ who strengthens her. She can make it through all that mess, because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, and I'm not talking about the end of today, at the end of our day that God wants us to make it to the end of, we go, you know what? We're going to shine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
we'll be victorious.
we will be victorious. Yes. Did you hear Mocha J? You know, like a diamond. It's sometimes people are like diamonds in the rough, and you need to go through that process to see who you really are and what you're really made of. Do you agree, Mocha J?
I agree. Diamond, you know, what does it start off as? Is a black piece of coal? Is that what a diamond starts off as? Then it's shining bright and worth thousands of dollars at the end of the day.
Yes. It's a precious stone. It's a precious jewel. And you know what? You are too.
Yes.
That's why we want to come at the end of the day. If you've gone through everything, you might have heard something from a coworker, from somebody that's over you as a boss, a peer, or somebody that, even an authority. If somebody, you might be working in a church and you heard something from your pastor, and maybe it just hit you wrong. You know, and just all you got to do is just say, you know what, at the end of the day, I'm still a diamond, and maybe I needed that. Now, I didn't need the emotion, but take out of your day what you need to bring you to a place where you've gone through the fire. You've been through the flood, and take the personal touch out of it. Maybe it was a pastor, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a coworker. Take the personal touch out and say, Lord, what are you trying to do with me?
Right.
A lot of people keep ruffling my feathers. Why that person always in my face? They know I don't like them. Now, you say that under your breath. You don't say that to them at all.
Yeah, in your mind.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's going to come out of there. But it's just sometimes somebody just irks you and don't even know why. And sometimes we stay away from them. My thing is, let me see if I can get near them and see what it is. And I've just learned to start doing that. Because if somebody hurts me, there's something in them that they are drawing out of me, something that's in them that I need to get out of them to make me better. And I know that's a weird philosophy to some folk, but it's scriptural.
No, that's true. That is very true. That is, that God will present certain stuff to you over and over again in different formats because he wants you to take something from that. So I agree with you. Sometimes you got to look past the person and think spiritually.
Are we still alive in that area? God wants us to die in it. We got to die daily. And maybe we're not dead in that area, and God's saying, you will fare a lot better if you die in this area. Let me keep bringing this person around you. Mm-hmm. And until you see why, and see until we can see the intent of God, let me say that. Until we see the intent of God with every aspect of our lives, with every fiber of our beings, okay, Lord, what is your intent?
You're preaching to me, Michael. Go ahead.
Hey, that's okay. You know what? The Holy Spirit, he's doing this thing. You get me, too. But
this
if we can see the very intent of God in everything, we'll fare better. Because, you know, it might rub against the grain. You know, people love to do that. Somebody like to see what they can bring. They want to see if they can make you mad. And that might be their motive. But in their motive, look for God in there. Okay, God, what are you doing? What are you trying to bring out of me? Because I want to get to the other end of this so that person would never affect me again so I can die to that area. People can't affect you in an area that you're dead in.
Right.
But if something of your flesh is still alive in the area, that's why, you know, God allows those things to come. And I'm preaching to myself, too. I'm learning this in my season, in my life. If something is irking me, that's why you see me. A lot of people see me. You're always smiling. You're always okay. Well, because I'm going through seasons of our life. I know what's going on now. Now, am I 100% there? No. I'm not 100% there. I've gotten wiser in a lot of areas.
Right.
You know, when you bump your head, bump your head against the wall so much.
You
learn something. And so I'd rather not bump my head anymore. I'd rather say, okay, God, what you doing? What you saying to me? What you trying to download? I must get my computer turned off, or you trying to download something in my hard drive and say, let me just let them download it. Because in that download, I'm going to find something that I need. And I can kick the rest out because I can delete anything. But the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, he's in charge of our days, of our weeks, of our months, and of our years. And if once we submit ourselves to the will of God and let him kill off the things that's no good for us, we're going to be all right.
Whew! All right. We will be.
You know, I feel like every day I want to do something, I can't do it. I just, we got a wide variety of audience, and I don't want to scare anybody, but it's just the power of the Holy Spirit is just charging me up tonight to speak this into somebody's life. Get through those areas that's rough.
Yes.
You're a diamond. You're a gem. You're a jewel. You got gold in you. Tried in the fire. You might be tried in the fire. He's bringing you up a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a song about that.
You did? Yeah, I'm going to have to hear that.
Yes, I sure did. You said, I am rich. Increase with good. Now, to be stealing my song, but it's copyrighted when I do it on the air.
Well, don't sing it in because it sounds good.
Okay. Yeah.
Sing a snippet.
If you've been tried in the fire, he's bringing you up a little higher. Let's see what the verse is, because that's going to help somebody.
Yeah.
Tried in the fire, come on up a little higher, that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. You need to be tried in the fire. When he becomes your desire, but he's saying, when I become your desire, you'll begin to taste and see that I am really good.
That's good,
Michael. We'll look at it his way. You're going to taste and see that I'm really, really good. It tastes nasty right now because you don't understand. But when you get the intent of God, not the intent of man, not the intent of our own agenda and motives, but when we get the intent, somebody say intent of God.
And when whenever I talk to my dad sometimes about different situations I'm going through or just, you know, a conflict that comes up, I'm like, hey, Dad, you know, I'm going through this. And at the end of it, he'll minister to me and he'll say, and God said it is good. And so we look at things and we're like, oh, this is bad. Oh, you know, we're complaining about it. But God, he looks at it completely different. He said, it is good. This is good.
Yeah.
So
you know what,
you
just
look,
said something.
You know,
No, you just gave another nugget. When God made the earth, He was saying, let there be. And we didn't know what happened after he said, let there be. There could have been things coming against what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was finished, it was what he said it was, and he said, that's
good.
It
could have been chaos on the just tornadoes and tsunamis,
yeah.
And after all that, God said, it is good.
It is good. See, I like when I have people, there's nuggets in what you say. And once we see the nugget of God and the intent of God in situations in our life, man, it gets so much easier to walk on a day-to-day basis and dealing with different people. Sometimes people's temperaments are just different than ours. Sometimes
right.
we just wonder, why are they like that? Because God made them like that. They're good.
Right. That
good.
Is, that's true. Once you start understanding that what you're saying, that, you know, we're not going to understand everything, but we have
right.
to trust Him. That God has said, He said, it is good. You know, you might be going through something, but it is good. Go through it.
And while we're on the job that we're on, because God said, I've got to bring you out of that place you're in into the promised land. I've got to bring that nugget of gold out. I've got to bring that diamond that's in the rough out. And so I'm sending you through this process in your life. But why are they going to be this job? Gonna be, well, it's going to be somewhere else in the other job. You know, now, you leave there and go someplace else, it might be worse. Is that? That's okay. I said, okay, go ahead. Okay, now you got two things. That's fine. I've been wanting to work that out of you, too. You just made it happen a little faster. No, take the time of God. Go through. Don't leave. We were talking about the other day, leaving someplace before it's time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. You're going to give yourself more grief.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Even if you did that, don't condemn yourself. God can use that, too.
Right, that is true. That is, Michael, that is so true. Even if we do leave, he's going to still make a lesson out of us leaving.
Yeah. And you know what, at the end of the day, you know what he's going to say? What he going to say? That your father
it is good.
It is good.
That's what he's going to say.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that has enriched somebody's life and made you see the value that's in you, that God loves you so much. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son for you. He loved you so much that he will send you through whatever. Look what he sends his only begotten son through to die for us. You know how hard that is to send your son to die?
Yeah. Your only, too.
And I said, Jamocha.
Made up another big
name. I had to put your names together. But you got a son, I got a son, I got a daughter, I got a grandson. I can't think.
Nope.
Sending.
Nope.
Come on, sending your son or your loved one that you bore to die. For man? Now, thank God he is God and he's not man like me.
Okay, thank God for that. Because a lot of people will be like, no. Every man for themselves.
My goodness. Imagine what Abram went through when God said, okay, kill him. He loved his son, but he loved God. And that war was there, but he was willing to do it. I don't think he was the only man that God put in that position. And he was going to come through, and God said, stop, there's a ram. I just want to check your intent. So God's checking our intent sometimes, and sometimes we need to see the intent of God. Because
that
at the end of the
true.
Day, he's going to say, it is good. Oh, I made them beautiful, and I knew that was going to come out of them. I knew what they had beneath them. And sometimes we don't even know what's under our core until God sends us through something. I didn't know I could stand through all the stuff I've gone through. I thought, you know, I'd kick the bucket, or I'll kick my own bucket, or kick somebody's bucket. But God is merciful. He is loving. I was telling people last night, as if you say you're an atheist, you say agnostic. No, you're not. Because in Romans, the first chapter, he said everything, he said man is without excuse. They know I exist. He said it's in them. There's no way that you can really, really deny that God exists, because you're a liar if you say he doesn't, because the very existence of God is in you. The Spirit of God, when he breathed life into Adam, that's the existence, and that's the existence of him in you. That air is still going through your lungs and making that heart pump and giving you all the oxygen you need to stay on this planet.
Yeah, and I remember talking to somebody a few years back, and they were talking to me about God, and they said, well, you know, I believe in God, and I grew up in the church, but I'm going through this point in my life where I just don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if everything that I've been taught in church is true. And I'm like, well, all you have to do is look at God's track record in your life. Everything that he's brought you from, you know, answering your prayers, intimate relationships you've had with him, do not count that out. That he is a real king. He is our Father. And, you know, anybody that's feeling like they can't really believe it, you know, I don't know if there's really God, I don't really believe all this, look back over your life and look at everything he's brought you through that you didn't do yourself. And that's how you know God is real. That's how you know.
I'm going to hit him in the face with something really real and it's meat. And sometimes people need to, sometimes people can receive meat rather than they can receive a little milk because they're old enough. And that person would say, you know, sometimes God says the truth of him is in us. And he says, when we go through hard things, we don't want to go through them, so we'll make up something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make up something. And that's my mom calling when she knows I'm on the show. But we'll make up something and believe that rather than believe the truth because we don't want to go through. We don't want to go through the death of a loved one. But it's going to happen. We all going to hit that dirt one day. And whether it's through an accident or natural causes or, you know, someone murders or something like that, and they blame God, and God didn't do it. I mean, God allows the natural causes of things to happen, but he's merciful. And they, you know, and so they'll blame God rather than let me go through this trial of my mom or my dad or my sister, my brother, my cousin, or whoever, my best friend. Go through it and watch you come out better. But rather than go through, they become wimps. Sorry, that's the hard meat of it. Because I don't want to go through believing that God is going to bring me through this and I'm going to see this as good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know that's a hard thing. Because even through the death of a loved one, even through the death of someone we know or something like that, I hate going through death, but I have to embrace at some point that God is going to bring me through it, and there's some good he's going to bring out of everything.
Yes. That's true. And I'm looking at...
Go ahead.
I'm looking up Genesis 1 and 31. It said, mm-hmm. And God saw all that he made, and it was very good. This is in the beginning when he was creating the earth, so... Like we were saying, we don't know how, if we were there when the earth was getting created, I could only imagine mountains springing up and oceans falling down and skies shifting. And, you know, that's chaos. God is saying it is good. So
let the land come up. The land had to come up out of the ocean because it was all water. He said, there'd be a firmament in heaven between the heavens and the earth. He had to bring the sky out. You know, we weren't there. When he said, let there be light, you know, we don't know what happened for light to happen.
Right.
I mean, there could have been a cataclysmic explosion and all kind of noise. If we were there, we probably would have died.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's all these different things. There's no God. Yes, it is. And you know it is. Shut up. You know it's in you.
You know
all that noise and trying to make up truth is not there. Scientists can't even prove what they're saying, even with the evolution theory. Sometimes they say some stuff that's just so stupid. I know I was listening to when I was at Christ for the Nations, I was listening to one of the excuses scientists made, and they say even the scientists have to come back and say, okay, that was stupid. Because they have to make up something. God exists. That's all you need to just believe.
Okay,
he did not. We are not accidents. And so explosion didn't make your eyeballs socket come into place and then you're able to see clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Explosion didn't make your lungs appear in you and you're able to breathe in and out of your nose by accident. Come on now.
And you know what? What we were talking about in church a few Sundays ago was the blood. I think it was on Easter. And my pastor, Pastor Robert Morris, was saying that blood cannot be reproduced. Not one scientist in the world can reproduce blood. We can reproduce limbs, organs, stem cells, but we cannot produce blood. Blood is from God.
Yes.
And that lets you know we can't reproduce this body. We can't, you know, we can't reproduce how we breathe and how our blood flows and pumps through our heart. That is all God.
Can't reproduce it. It won't
the blood
work.
Is God.
If you try to make a synthetic blood, that person's going to die. You shoot it up in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they've had experiments. You know, if we think about it, they've had the experiments, and they had some either animals die or children die to prove the fact that they're scientists. Wrong. You know they just hit it. The government does it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they always try to use guinea pigs at these at VA hospital. Okay, try this drug out. What do we do if we take that way? And they die. Oh,
We can't reproduce blood because God gives life. That's why.
That's right. Yes, God gives life. You just said God gives life to your vision too. God gives life to your purpose when you start doing it His way. When we do it our way, He steps back. He says, "Okay, let's see what you're gonna do." Not working. Huh? How's that working for you?
Nope.
He gives life to our vision when we look at His word in light of His word. Yeah. And when we stop making excuses for ourselves, because there's no excuse for us to sit on the couch and become a couch potato, because He did not make us like that. He did not make us lazy. We choose to be lazy. We choose not to move on a vision of passions. We choose to get in the mully grubs rather than say, "Okay, God, what are you trying to show me?" I dare you. Whatever situation in life you're in, I dare you.
Say, "God, dare you too." What are you trying
to say? that's a double dare.
We double dare you.
To say, "God, what are you trying to show me?" I humble myself. I put my opinions aside. I put my rationales aside. I put my excuses aside. I put everything aside just to hear you tell me what you're talking to me about. Mm-hmm. Open up
His
word.
If you ask Him for vision, for spiritual vision, mm-hmm. let me be the first to tell you He will give it to you, okay? So when you ask Him to let you see, be ready to see what He's trying to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
somebody I was talking to, a coworker, was telling me that, you know, they were arguing about God, and I forgot what she said. She said, "I was arguing about God about something," and then she was going past the church sign, and God said, "Don't question me." As soon as it came to her mind, she saw the sign and said, "Don't question me," or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and she humbled herself. And got to her day. Sometimes we just got to humble ourselves. Okay, Lord, what are you doing? I'm the first to say it just like that. Lord, what are you doing? I got out of my lane. I need to get back in my lane. Maybe I stepped off my umbrella and didn't realize it. Or I probably realized it and didn't think you saw it. You know, we do some dumb stuff sometimes. We think, "Oh, God didn't see me." Oh, come on. You can't go to the ocean without Him seeing you.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. Very true.
God has you and me on this for some reason, and I know people are listening. We were talking last night, and I felt, this is my insecurity, and I'll confess to people, you know, sometimes I get on the show, I have a fear of, you know, it's a small little fear. Oh, am I going to really speak what God wants me to do tonight? And God gets something that shows up and shows out. Last night did the same thing, you know, because God was giving me a direction,
mm-hmm.
and He told me to speak some meaty stuff to some hardcore people, even about the atheists and stuff. And I said, "Lord, I don't want to scare people away. I don't want to," but it's not about what I think.
Right. This is the
Pastor, do you get past what you think, or are they going to stop giving if I say that? If you get past what you think and tell these people what God say, tell them. Whew. God can support your vision. God can send the people to support your vision if you get your fear out of the way and stop depending on man.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors.
We can. Just
ask. Ministers, listen. We only want to be, you know, especially, you know, in our black church, we want to hear, "Amen, Pastor, amen, hallelujah, yeah, yeah." But you get them quiet. You teach them something. After a while, they get that meat in them, and that's what they're going to desire is meat. You pull your people off of milk and give them some meat. They'll grow
right.
up. And it'll start
right.
sticking to them, just like Jeremiah. You have to pull them off of milk sometimes, start giving them, you got to give them the Gerber. And then you start giving some of the solids little by little. His body can take it. Now, you can't give a baby meat. You
right.
can't even give a baby a Gerber food yet until they get to a certain tolerance level for their body to be able to take it, because it will hurt them. And yes, you give babies milk. But when we get so many baby senior people in the church these days, it's because the pastor's not being obedient to give them the meat that they need. Because they're giving so much offering and tithes, and they're scared to rock the boat. And pastors, I'm speaking to you. God is speaking to you. Stop that mess, because at some point He's going to move you out of the way and give the people that something that they need. And there's somebody that cares about their souls, because pastors, you're supposed to care about the souls, not the money. And if you're in ministry for the money, you're in the wrong place, in the wrong position. And you shouldn't
right.
be. That shouldn't be the focus point, the focal point. I want somebody to go feed my spirit. I want somebody to call me out when I'm wrong. I've been in places they wouldn't even call me out, and they knew what I was doing when I was wrong. I was so ashamed to be there. I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
They know what I'm doing and won't even say that, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted
That's
them to
right.
say something. Smoke and I wanted them to say, "You're wrong. Let me pull you aside. Let me talk to you." My first pastor that did that, oh, I love him to the day he went to be with the Lord. And I still say some of the things he said, because he was not afraid of people. He knew, he said, I've got a God to glorify. God gave me a mandate on this earth, and I'm going to do it.
Right.
He said, you people go to hell because it's because you choose to. It's not going to be because I didn't tell you what God told me. And I loved him for that. I loved him for that. Pastors, your people will love you for that. And the only people who leave is the person that shouldn't have been in the first place. They could just come to wreak havoc in the church anyway. Did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did. And I was just about to say on that one, if they're not ready, because I've been to a church. It was a church in Louisville, and to me, the pastor, it was a black church, and I think it was a Baptist church maybe, or non-denominational. And the pastor, it was like he wanted to go deeper, but it was just something about. It was my first time visiting, and I sat in the back and I just observed, and it was like, you know, people were just shaking and running, but it just felt like he was on the verge of just giving some meat, but he just stayed on the surface. I'm like, oh, come on now. He started talking about, he's talking about, you know, he spoke with angels, and he hinted at something where he was speaking with the angel in his house, and when he prays, you know, he speaks out loud, and he knows that God's angels are with, you know, he was just getting into some stuff, talking spiritual, but he kind of backed up. Because I guess, you know, because of his congregation. He didn't get all the way into spiritual things, you know, because we were not against flesh and blood. And he was getting on that side. It was getting good, but he just kind of, he pulled back from speaking on that. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow.
I want pastors to do that. I want to go to a church like that.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, people come into church and do just like you. They sit in the back and they observe. And they say, well, is he really going to speak the truth? Is this the church that I need to be in that's going to feed me? Because I want to go to heaven. I don't want somebody to placate me and make me go to hell and tell me I'm doing all right. And the scripture is full of different places where it says they would not speak the truth. Wow.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Whenever I go to a church, I always look at that. Are they just preaching on the surface, or are you giving me the meat that's in the Bible? And I think that's something that other people should look at, and you know what the meat is in the Bible because you read the Bible and you know what the Bible says. So that's what the lesson should be about, is not stuff on the surface, you know, let's just go and get a nice little optimistic message, but something that's really going to minister to my life and help me in the areas that I need help, and not just, just skim on the surface. I don't like that.
I don't like that either. And you know, people can tell the truth. We spoke with Nina B. You know, she's a youth pastor, and she said the same thing. Mm-hmm. The young people are looking for truth, and they can weed through all
we're
the
looking
things
for the
and find out you're fake. They can tell if you're real. They can tell if you're catering to the people, and they can tell if you love God genuinely.
Yes,
and if they see you love God genuinely, oh, my goodness. You talk about this young generation, and we need a lot of churches to think about our younger generation. That's going to be our future church. And you're turning them off. You're not giving them the meat, and they're seeing right through you, because that's the generation we're in. They can see fluff. They can see fake. They can see a hireling, and they can smell it way off, even before they probably even get through the door, barely in their chair. They can tell, this is not, no. So if you think it was hard to get the generation you have in your church, oh baby, you talking about the generation that's coming up? You better get before God and lay before Him, because you got a generation you got to reach, and they are not playing.
The truth.
They want it, and they know when they're not getting it. Get free. If you're in bondage to fear of people, if you've got a church board telling you what you can and cannot do, you better get free. Let's take a station break. I'm prayed up. I'm ready. Let's keep hammering this thing, because we got people that's listening that are hungry for the truth, Mocha J. Let's keep giving it to them. And this is what we're going to say. Get free. This is Kendall Hunter. Say, I am free. Here we go.
I am free, yeah. No more chains. I am free, yes, emancipated, liberated. Used to be.
be bound by men's opinions. One day those chains fell off of me. Open my eyes, now I can see that in him I have liberty.
To any question you have, want to solve any problem or issue almost immediately? Well, the Help Bus website has amazing resources that will help you quickly improve any area of your life. The Help Bus will greatly assist you with your health, finances, business, education, job, home, garden, family, parenting, and so much more. Also, get two free gifts when you visit the website at helpbus.net. So why not visit right now?
Strong, I look to you.
website where you can get answers quickly to any question without searching for hours? Well, why not visit a website called The Help Bus at helpbus.net? Again, that's The Help Bus at helpbus.net. Why not visit right now?
And we are back live. Woo! We are happy to be here, and we are excited about what God is saying to us, and not just to you, to us. Woo! Well, let me give you the whistle. Here we go. Ready for our next segment, because we are on target. I believe we're on target, Mocha J, because it's hitting me and it's hitting you, and I believe it's hitting our audience of NICOM Express listeners that's tuning into this station to receive what thus said the Lord for us in this season of our lives. I'm excited about what God is singing. I'm charged up in my spirit because I know that in this dispensation that you're in, God is about to catapult you this year into someplace new. You're not going to be in the same place as next year because God has given us an assignment to speak and push you forward and launch you forward with the things that we say, the segments that we bring to you. Mocha J's got some things for business tips, tax tips that's going to help you along the way. And also, you hear the inspiration side of it just emerging. And wait till we get to television. NICOM TV is coming up. We were supposed to start next week. I'm going to put something else out there in our time slots if we're not able to get our segments up quick enough. But I'm hoping to have all of our stuff in place so that we come before you live next Thursday with NICOM Express. And we'll show you where to tune in, man. If you haven't looked at know that it's allnationstv.com, allnationstv.com. You pull that up and just go to the streaming part. It's what's playing now. And at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, you're going to see myself. You're going to see Mocha J. You're going to see Brother Spence, Daryl Spence, coming to you live in your face. And we're going to have the same truth that we have now. We're going to have that same truth. And so get ready to see us live. Hey, and then on Friday, same thing, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, is in that prime time, we get our segments with Vonda L. Chappelle. We're going to do that live before you, too, when we have different authors and people that have incredible testimonies. And so not just authors, people that can really motivate you through their stories that they've gone through. We had Tabitha Natasha White. My goodness, powerful testimony that would change lives. She came through domestic violence, and she gave us the cycles that you got to watch for. If your friends, you know, they're married or if they just have a boyfriend, girlfriend that's abusing them. And she did say some men are abused too. Yeah. Some men are abused too, and they're getting abused, hit, verbally abused, and they're out there. And that's what God has called us to, Mocha J.
Yes,
and we're ready. We are ready.
We are.
And let me read this real quick. It's Colossians, the first chapter, the 9th verse. I always like to find spiritual nuggets in the Word for you to grab a hold to and give you what the chapters and verses are. I'm reading always out of the New King James Version because I don't want to get too forced in the thousand these and thuses where I lose you, but I want to bring it home to you. Now, if you need something else to really give you a true meaning, you can go find another translation, but I'm giving you as close to what I can to right in the middle where we can all tolerate and digest. First chapter of Colossians, New King James Version, 9th verse. For this reason, we also, talk about Mocha J, myself, everybody that's on this platform. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. We just talk about his intent. Your intent is in your will. So we ask you to know what the knowledge of God's intent in your life is. You're on the earth for a reason. And just know the knowledge of God's will and his intent for you in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. You heard us talking to the pastors. Please him, pastors, not the people. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So everything that you're going through, increasing the knowledge of God, not pull your own semantics out of it, your own opinions out of it, your own motives out of it, and say, okay, God, what are you saying? I want to be knowledgeable about what you're doing. I want to see what you're seeing, because what I'm seeing is not good right now. You know what I'm saying? This is not what I want to see. That's not a good thing, and I'm not seeing it well because I might do something. I want to see what you see. You know how it is. Flesh makes you want to do stuff. Makes you want to hit things. You know, slap things, poke things, kick things, throw things, shoot things.
Yeah.
We got you. We got you, boo-boo. We know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was somebody said watch a long time ago on HBO, and I don't have HBO, but it was a show on HBO. They would show the person doing something to somebody, then they come back. You thought they actually did it until they went back, or they were just thinking that. I forgot what it was. I think it was like something in the city. But they would have a situation where they saw themselves beating somebody or cutting somebody's throat.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it was just a premonition.
Yeah, it was a premonition of something they thought that they wanted to do. And it actually looked like they did it. And we as viewers thought they did it. Then it came back and showed them in reality they were just thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny because you didn't know what was real or not until they showed you that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we understand the thought process, the human nature side of things. But, baby, get into the God intent, God's will. God's knowledge for you is beautiful. When he brings it up, see, look at that diamond. Look what I just worked out of you. And all it took was those trials to bring this to the surface. I had to pull all that other stuff off you that was really worthless and no good for you to see the diamond, for you to see that business that's that Fortune 500, so you can see the magazine that you're supposed to start, so you can see that God has a platform for you to speak to people because you've been abused and beat down, and God brought you out of that as a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I have to go? Don't worry about why I had to go through this. Okay, let's let God guide us out of this. So the testimony can come up. You can't have a testimony.
And I call that the slingshot effect.
The slingshot effect. You got a calorie. That's right. You did say that the other night.
Mm-hmm.
He had to pull you back. Sometimes you're pulling you back, getting it real tight. But he has to aim it too. He's got to aim you at the goal. And sometimes it feels like you've been stressed. Just look at God pulling that slingshot. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Get that visual in your head.
Yeah.
You're in that slingshot right now because it's tight. And you wonder, what is going on? It's tight. It's tight, but it's right, baby. Because when God lets that slingshot go, that giant's coming down.
Boom,
right between the eyes. Kill the dude. David's like, whoa, dude. I didn't expect that. So that's what I was doing when I was working and killing those bears and getting that aim just right. Killing the lions that's coming after my sheep. And that's the way pastors, you have to be, too.
Yes.
Because the intent of God has to be in everything we do. Or why are we doing it? Nikon Express, Nikon Platform, Relationship Reload, the intent of God's got to be very clear and precise, and we got to set our aim on that. Or why are we doing what we're doing, Billy? Why do we have churches if we don't have the intent of God? And God's about to line this thing up. Let me get back over here in this scripture and stay focused on what God has me on to stay on this too. And I love the truth that God brings you and me out of these scriptures. I want to stay keep going on down the Nikon Express tracks and see what else he has for us. He said in the 10th verse, we'll start over in that verse, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. He means everything that he's doing in your life is going to be every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. Then he says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And a lot of times when you're going through patience type of operations and you're going through that long-suffering thing, it don't feel like it's joy, do it? It doesn't feel like it's joy at all. Because it's like Mocha said, you're being stretched. God knows how to stretch you. God knows how to broaden your horizon. And sometimes it feels like I can't take it. Yes, you can. Because God did it. And just know what his intent is and that you belong to him. You belong to him. Somebody didn't believe that. I better say it again, Mocha J. You belong
to him. You belong to him.
He said, no one can pluck you out of my hand. That's scriptural. Look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in your Google and search that out. No one can pluck you out of my hand. It's there. It's in the Bible. No one can pluck you out of my hand. So when you're being stressed, if you're in His hand and you love Him and you called and you know you've given your heart to Him. Now, if you haven't given your heart to Him, just wait to the end of the program. We're going to show you how, because I always like to wait to the end, because I want people to hear what they're getting saved from and saved to, and that it does cost you something. Sometimes, you know, God will say, I need all this. Sometimes He says, just give me this and give me this, and I can deal with that later. But it costs you everything, baby. And you can do it. For Him to bring you up as a diamond, to show you the value you have, and not just in the world, for the world to come, you know, in heaven, but right here on earth, He can show you the value that He's put in you now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is true. That is true, because you are valuable.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't always see our value, and, you know, I went through a point in my life where I was told I was beautiful, but I didn't feel beautiful. And whenever I looked in the mirror, I didn't see somebody that was pretty. And I had to really go on my Bible and look for those scriptures that says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I thought about you before your mother even thought about you. I had to go back and really put those scriptures in my spirit to say, I am a beautiful person. God loves me, and no one else loves me. My family loves me. So, you know, if anybody that's listening, if you're feeling kind of down and your self-esteem is kind of low, I encourage you to get into your word and look for those scriptures that confirms who you are in Christ, because you are valuable. You are a diamond, and, you know, God loves you. He does.
That's right. That's right. He really values you, and He wants you to value yourself.
Yes.
He does. God made you, and there's nothing wrong with thinking that He values you. Sometimes we, you know, even with our children, we value our children, but sometimes they do some think crazy stuff. And
yes.
We say, oh, goodness, that's my baby, but my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? And God's like that with us. Yes. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, He still loves you.
And God's teaching me lessons all the time with my 2-year-old son. Because he's like, you know, the same way you got to have patience with him, I have patience with you. So every time I'm, you know, what you doing? And God always speaks to my ear, what you doing? What have you done?
I love that.
No, forgive him, and you work with him, because I work with you.
Yep.
So.
I love when, you know, I used to see Bill Cosby when he did that video back in the 70s. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's himself, Bill Cosby himself. And when he walked in the house, he said the mother, he couldn't find the mother, but the kids all run all over the place. He crunched his face like, what's going on? Look at that face he had. That's how God sometimes probably looks at me. I'm like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What's the Holy Ghost in your life? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You see, but He loves
me. I'm thankful for God's patience, though. Boy, I tell you, I'm thankful for it. Oof.
Yeah.
I'm thankful. Because, you know, if it was a man-made God, He would not have no patience for humans, for other humans.
That's right.
God has
but I'm glad He's God. I'm glad that He didn't make man God, and sometimes men put themselves in a position. They put themselves in, I wouldn't put them there, but they put themselves in a position they think that they are. But I'm glad God is God. Even for the atheists and for agnostics, I'm glad that He's God in their lives too, because of the season they're going through and the bitterness and all the anger that they're going through, and they've created this unrighteousness. Romans, the first chapter, talks about that they hold to the truth in unrighteousness. There really is no truth in it. That's an oxymoron. They hold to the truth in unrighteousness, how the Bible says it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an oxymoron play on words. They hold on to unrighteousness because they're bitter.
Right.
Because God didn't play basketball the way they wanted to play. They wanted to win all the time, and God said, "No, you can't win all the time."
Mm-hmm.
You got to give the ball up for somebody else to play. You can't just hog the ball in the game. you have to play on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, people they get so selfish, and they get so self-centered, and they want things to go their way, and when it doesn't, they get upset and they get angry,
mm-hmm.
and they do that to God, and they say, "Well, I'm not going to believe you." Well, you can't just stop believing Him. You can say that all you want.
Mm-hmm. You better open your eyes. You've been asking Him to open your eyes, and He give you a lesson. You can't deal with it. You got to look spiritually for the message.
They're spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings. You can't get that's what God is saying. You're a spiritual being. You can't get away from knowing God because you've got a spirit,
yes.
And he gave you that spirit. And that's why he said, my very existence is in you.
How come that?
He doesn't exist. You are a spirit. His spirit is in you. And so somebody said, I'm an atheist. I'm like, what? You're delusional.
Are you breathing right now? Because I see you breathing.
Exactly.
That means you need to know that there is a God. I don't understand.
If God gave them the recompense, or if God gave them the reward for what they say, they would drop dead as soon as they thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
God is going,
okay.
You know?
Got
it. I don't believe it.
Okay. And that's why I said,
everywhere.
I thank God that he's God.
Yeah. This is some good stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm feasting on it myself. And he said here, let me finish out this one here. The 12th verse says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. I love that part, Moses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to have somebody validate me. Could you validate me, please?
Can you read that again? Can you read that again from the beginning?
The first chapter, 12th verse, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's something about the eyes of people that decide they're going to walk in truth, people that know that God exists. Now, I know he does. I'm not going to be stupid and say he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes scientists, yes, you're stupid. No, people don't like that. Shh, don't call them stupid. Well, fool says in his heart, that stupid fool says in the heart, there's no God. A fool does. A fool says it.
And you know,
that's a good
scripture, because in the line of business that I'm in now, and with wanting to be a training provider, and you know, I have to contact different suppliers and talk to people from all over the U.S. and I'm talking to executives and vice presidents, and I'm telling them, hey, this is a great opportunity for you to get your products out there and blah blah blah. And I'm 25, and sometimes I'm talking to somebody that's maybe 55 or 60, and they're like, how are you doing this? And who's the owner? And I'm like, I'm the owner. And like, well, how did you come up with this idea? And I said, God, and I always told God, the very first time he gave me my vision for my company, back in June 2012, I said, I will always give you the glory for this, because it is not me. You gave me this vision. So I told this man last week, he was in San Francisco, and he was like, how did you come up with this? I said, I'm not going to lie, it was God. I prayed about it, and God answered my prayers. He said, well, all right, then I'll take that. I got to give God the praise. This business belongs to him. I'm not qualified, but he qualified me.
you don't know what you did for that man and what you do for people that you tell that to. Whew, glory to God.
Yeah.
I'm going to read this again because it charged me up in my spirit. This is, once again, Colossians, the first chapter, 12th verse. If you take anything away from tonight, take this away, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. He's done the qualification to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. In the light. You can't see your qualifications in the dark. You can't see
making my heart beat fast.
Come on. Oh, get ready. I'm doing this teeny thing. You
have
to be qualified to be a partaker.
And the inheritance of the saints.
Yes, in
that
the
means everything.
That verse is powerful.
Yes, it is. Wow.
I'm going to walk around tonight just meditating on
I
that.
I am walking around. I'm already walking around the house.
Giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to be partakers of his inheritance.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I left this. Wait, check this out. 13th verse. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. So if you sit on your couch in darkness, and you're a Christian, and you are already delivered, you better tell that thing to get off.
Okay.
You have the power of God in you to say, I'll bind you in the name of Jesus. Get off of me. And it will go. Believe me, I've been there too many times.
I have spoken.
Yeah.
I have spoken. I ain't seen nothing in front of me physical, but I said, the devil. you got to go. And I got the power to tell you to go in the name of Jesus.
Exactly.
You got to go.
And you know what? Even if you can't speak it, you can think it in the name of Jesus. I bind you,
thought,
and you to get off me,
mm-hmm.
and it will have to flee.
Mm-hmm.
Even in your thoughts.
Our thoughts are prayers.
I like I like to verbalize. I like to hear myself
with it. Yeah, I do too. I like to say it.
You know how TV says you shake your head? In the name. I like to shake my head with the M Jesus. Battle. We have no power here.
I get the pointing. Don't even know what I'm pointing at.
Come on now. See, all we have to do, people get confused by time, Mocha J. Sometimes they speak something and they don't wait long enough. And remember I told you I've been waiting a long time. I've been speaking to the lives of people. And it's been, and I'll share it more specific. I was waiting on my mortgage. I think I shared it with you. I was waiting on my mortgage, a loan modification, and they waited 7-8 months. I'm not going to say which company it was. People going to try to change over. And they waited 7-8 months, and I didn't pay a dime. And I was thinking, they're going to kick me out of my house. I'm going to lose my equity. But I kept speaking. And every time I said that to my head, they're going to kick me. The guy said, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to keep my house. I'm going to live and not die. I'm going to have what God has for me. God gave this to me. I'm going to keep it. So I counted what I thought with what I said. And last Thursday, got the call. We forgave. It was a lot. Let's say it was in excess of we forgave $15,000. You don't have to pay that. And they lowered my payment in excess of $400. Lowered the payment. Because I did not give up on what I spoke. And just because I heard people say, well, they're going to kick you out. Oh, you mean, and I heard people saying that. That's why you got to be careful who you share stuff with.
Well, right.
You give the devil more ammunition to use people against you. And you've got to fight through that stuff and speak God's word. And I fought through it. And I got the call. And God said, there you go, because you were faithful. You did not allow the enemy to come in and taint the word. You allowed the word to be the word. You allowed me to get into that situation and work. And I don't know who all he spoke to and what all favor he had. I don't even look into all that. That's God's territory. All he told us to do is speak and believe. Just like when we get saved. If you believe in your heart, believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he died and rose again, that's all you got to do. He's out of the rest. And I'll bring salvation to you, and I'll bring healing to you. Well, the doctor said a lot of stuff. You know how many people get healed of cancer? You know how many people get healed of all these type of things that would normally kill a person? You stay with the word. Stay with what God says. Jesus had to do it when he was here, as it is written. Look how many times Jesus said, as it is written. Because he knew he was in the earth and he had to speak. I love that. Now let me get back over here. I've got to say this again. 13th verse, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now chew on that for a minute. Conveyed, translated. He made us able to hear him. He made us able to understand him. He made us able to, you know, just like Jesus did, he was in the earth. He felt the things that we felt. He felt our infirmities. He felt the weaknesses of the human flesh. But he kept on speaking. He kept on walking. And the manifestation came the same with us. He was our forerunner. He was our forerunner. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Just like Mocha J said, nobody can recreate that. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus. Nobody can recreate Jesus' blood. From a salvation standpoint or redemptive standpoint, he died once and that was it. He rose again. And his blood that he shed for us in this human flesh still has power today. Glory to God.
Amen.
Don't shut me down when I'm preaching this.
And what you were saying about your mortgage, you said that it took you a while and it felt like it was, you know, whatever the solution was that you needed was never going to come. But God... Mm-hmm. I can't remember where it says in the Bible, but I think it was it Joseph, whenever he was locked up, and it says, you know, I guess there's a scripture that said, and God remembered Joseph.
And God remembered, because that God remembered, the one that he had helped. He said, 2 years before, he said, don't forget me when you get before, you know, before the king you know, before I forgot, now my brain is going to loop, but don't forget me when you get before the big guy. And yep. 2 years, this guy forgot. But God didn't forget. And when God remembered, God brought that memory back to that man that that was in prison with him, who he helped.
Yeah.
He said, oh, yeah, you got a dream, you want to trip it? Oh, this dude, I was in prison with, what's his name, Joseph. Let's go, he can interpret this for you. God quickened that man's memory at the precise time, because Joseph had made it successfully through. Oh, yo, you just got me with what I just said, the mortgage.
He remembered you. And God remembers Michael.
Yeah, 7 months, seven or eight, I think it was more than that. All those months, he remembered. He said, because of your faithfulness and you stayed on my word, yes, the thoughts come to your mind, people, but you got to keep them out. Well, God's word says this, and I believe that. Even in the face of if you, that's why I say I'm very careful who I share what I'm going through with, especially in this time and era that I'm in, because I want to keep myself on point on God's word, let him know I'm believing you even more than my own mind and opinions. I'm believing you. You believe you God, what, you believe your own self? Yeah, because I lie. Man will lie. I'm not saying I, but man lies. And my flesh will lie to me. My emotions will lie. Sometimes when I get upset, my mind will lie. But God's always true. His word is always true. We gave him enough to chew on for a little bit. Let's take a little break. Let's hear from our sponsor. Hear some music that's going to really bring everything we're saying into perspective in your life. We love you and appreciate you. That's why we're here every waking moment. We'll be right back. Just stay tuned, okay? All right, Mocha J, we'll be right back.
Want answers quickly to any question you have? Want to solve any problem or issue almost immediately? Well, the Help Bus website has amazing resources that will help you quickly improve any area of your life. The Help Bus will greatly assist you with your health, finances, business, education, job, home, garden, family, parenting, and so much more. Also, get 2 free gifts when you visit the website at helpbus.net. So why not visit right now? Green.
never, never made me cry. Those tears were never your fault, they were mine. So don't be mad, please smile. You've done your part, now I gotta do mine.
Oh yeah.
Lord, oh, I'll give you all I have, God. Oh, I'm gonna give it back to you. Oh, what a good God you are. Oh, 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 what a good God. Everybody else, yeah, yeah, whoa.
History in the making.
I am a juggernaut,
breaking the pavement and ground up.
I am
juggernaut.
Turning your volume and sound up.
I am a juggernaut.
Taking your city and town up.
I am a juggernaut.
Hey,
I am a juggernaut.
Yeah.
I am a juggernaut.
Breaking the pavement and crown up.
I am a juggernaut.
Turning your volume and town up.
I am a juggernaut.
Taking your city and town up.
I am a juggernaut.
Hey,
I am a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Woo! I am a juggernaut. You are too, Mocha J. We are juggernauts, and let's walk together with God. You know, this is an incredible thing, a incredible moment, incredible season. God's trying to see, let you see how big of a juggernaut that you are. Woo! This mm-hmm. is an exciting time for you. If you grab a hold of what we were just sharing about you and the partakers God made you into his wonderful knowledge. We just got to know what his intent is. And when we
yes.
know what his intent, his will is, we got it going on. We are a juggernaut. We're able to do the things that people say we can't do. We're able to climb the mountains people say we can't climb. We're able to go through the valley that seems like it's the deepest valley. You can go through the deep valley because you are a juggernaut. You are a child of God. You are a partaker of the inheritance of the kingdom
yes.
of God.
Hey, yes, and juggernaut means unstoppable, just so you know. So everybody knows.
Woo! If you know the juggernaut, if you saw the recent movie, I think it was under the X-Men stuff. You know, he was running through walls, going up and jumping down through the ground, coming back up, unstoppable. Now we can do that spiritually, and we can do that in the natural and sense when God gives us the ability. And in this segment coming up, I want y'all to get ready. Mocha J is going to tell y'all some 15 things that successful people do, that juggernauts do. Go ahead.
Yes.
You got the members of the Niagara Express. Take us on down a little further.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It's Mocha J. I'm so happy to be back sharing some tips with everyone that is interested in either starting a business or just some encouragement for your life. And I started this past Monday on 15 things successful people do, and I got through 1 through 7, and so today I'm going to go ahead and finish up with 8 through 15. And the number 8 tip that the writer gave for what successful people do is continue to improve. It says successful people habitually thrive on self-improvement, whether it's in terms of learning from mistakes or simply using their weaknesses as opportunities. Channel this habit by continually searching for ways to be better. Maybe your networking skills are rusty, or maybe you need extra training. So set those goals for improving your weak areas. And continuous improvement is something that I love to do. I can go to Half Price Bookstore, and I will be in the business section for hours. I'll forget what time it is and have to tell myself to go home because I love anything that's based on entrepreneurship or self-improvement. That's something that successful people do. You can't ever. There's a Chinese proverb saying if you stop learning, then you'll. I think I have to look what it says. But basically, the proverb says if you stop rowing your boat, then eventually you're going to fall back downstream. So you always have to keep paddling and keep pushing forward and keep filling your life and your mind with self-improvement. The number 9 thing is to commit. Success doesn't come without effort. The most successful individuals are often the most committed to what they're working towards. So throw yourself into your task and go the extra mile every single day. Make no exceptions. And I love this because you do have to commit. You can't be a jack of all trades and a master of none because you'll get nothing done. You got to commit to something, even if you feel like, hey, you know, this is a better business venture and it may get me they're faster, you've already committed to that one business, so stick with it. Be the best that you can be in that industry, in that genre, and don't let all this other stuff sidetrack you. Stick to one thing and commit to it so you can be an expert in that area. The number 10th thing that I'm going to share is be alert. A keen sense of awareness breeds success. If you're not keyed into your environment, you're sure to miss opportunities. Do you know what's being said within your company, feedback from clients, or even in your entire industry? So being alert means doing your research. That's something I love to do as well. I love researching my industry. I love finding out what the new training is that's required, what new regulations there are. So the same thing with you. If you're in the business field or just something for your career, stay on top of your industry. Find out what you need to know to enhance your skills in that area. Number 11 is to persevere. Truly successful people never give up. Do they ever fail? Of course, yes, they do. But when times get hard, their stamina to move forward doesn't wane. Develop a willingness to work through the challenges you encounter along the way. You have to persevere. You cannot let any failures stop you from the journey that you're on. It's something that's going to make you stronger. And like me and Michael were talking about earlier, with the scripture they gave, was it first Colossians? What was it, Michael? I think it was first
Colossians. First Colossians is from the 9th through the, I believe we got to the 13th verse.
Okay, well, yes, we were talking about that, and God qualifies you. I love that. So persevere,
yes,
because he's already giving you the tools that you need. You're going to bump your head along the way. That comes with the territory. That comes with success, and it'll only make you better. So persevere through those trials. Number 12 is to communicate with confidence. Those who are successful have an ease for convincing others. They don't manipulate or pressure, but logically explain the benefits. Communicating with confidence will allow you to more easily negotiate your visions. And that's so true. And I'll relate it back to me again. With my business, I'm constantly having to give like my elevator pitch, and I have to explain to people what I need from them or what my business does. So you want to always communicate what you're doing with confidence, and don't be pressured. You know, don't be pressured. What you want to do is develop your speaking skills. In other words, you want to practice in front of the mirror. You want to write it down and rehearse it. And whatever your elevator pitch is, or whatever you're wanting to get out there to everybody, whether it's in business or your career, practice what you're going to say so you can say it with confidence. Number 13 is to display humility. The most successful individuals lack an ego. It's their fault when they fail. Hold yourself accountable for every aspect of your life, focusing on remaining focused and humble. Display humility. I will say that again. Display humility. No one wants to deal with the macho man that thinks he has all the answers and belittles you for what you don't know. You want to stay humble. It'll get you further. It'll help you build more relationships. It'll help you get more referrals. It'll just enhance you in so many ways if you stay humble and remember that where you're getting to, God qualifies you. Half the time, you don't qualify to get there, so don't be, you know, trying to be all egotistical when you get there. You stay humble, and it'll take you so much further than you being stuck up and, you know, acting like holier than thou, basically. Number 14 is to be flexible. Plans may change. Successful people roll with the punches. Rather than getting frustrated, swiftly maneuver in another direction. So you do want to be flexible in your business, in your ministry, in your career, whatever it is. You want to be flexible, and you want to be able to go with the changes that you may encounter. And number 15, and the last thing, is to make connections. Successful people often attribute their achievements to the help of others. You can't and won't be able to do this alone. Invest in generating mutually beneficial business connections and partners. Even if you have all the skills necessary to run your company, a business partner could help complement your weaknesses. Initiating these habits of successful people will fuel you on your search for achievement. And I love number 15 because I'm all about making connections with people that are going in the direction that I'm trying to go in, and that's being successful and being prosperous. So you want to make sure that you have business cards ready, or always be willing to meet people whenever you're at a business function. Don't just sit down, you know, get out, mingle, mix, and people are there to do the same thing you're trying to do, which is make connections. And even if you have a business and you're a sole proprietor, get a business partner, because a lot of times you have ideas and you can only bounce them off of yourself. So having
right.
someone that has a strength in an area, maybe I'm really great at, I'm excellent at business development, but I may not be great at managing, or I may not be great at advertising. So I'll bring in somebody else. Hey, you know, this is what I'm doing, and they'll give me stuff that I've never even thought of. So it's great to make connections, you know, Michael, I always say it whenever I can, Michael helped me out so much. He is a great connection, business-wise and personally. So you want to make sure that you make connections with successful people as well. So that concludes my segment on the 15 things that successful people do. And if anybody wants to call in, Michael, you have the number for them.
Yep. And that number is area code 323-693-3830. And you can call that right now. Let me get it one more time, 323-693-3830. I see that Brother Spence has logged on. I'm going to pull you live in just a few minutes. Let me give where we get there. Every time we read something from a source, we have to read that source on the air. That's from Ilya Pozyn, P-O-Z-Y-N, L-L-Y-A is his first name, L-L-Y-A, Ilya Pozyn. He's the founder of Cyplex. He's a columnist for Inc., Forbes, and LinkedIn, and 30 Under and 30 Entrepreneurs. So that's from an April 3rd, 2013 edition on LinkedIn. So if you want to go to LinkedIn and find that, just put his name in the search engine, and that will come right up. So if you want access and put that in your hands, so you can put that before you. Sometimes people need to put a vision in front of them so they can visually see it. You know, we can hear things real good. Like when we go to church and we hear the word, we can hear that real good, but it's always good to know what the scriptures are. So when the time comes when you're going through, maybe you can grab that scripture and say, I got my truth. I got it. I can meditate on this, and I can make it come to pass in my life. So I just want to give you that little tidbit. This is powerful. So take that what Booker J is given to you, use that, apply it to your life, and continually, I think you said continually apply it, continue to get better because you can.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God is awesome.
Yes.
I'm going to bring Brother Spence live real quick. Brother Spence, we were just talking about Colossians, the first chapter. I said 8 through the 13, but the 9th through the 13th verse. But the scripture that stood out to me and Morgan that we were almost shouting on ourselves was that Colossians, first chapter, I'm trying to get to that. It was the 12th verse. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. He's qualified us. We don't have to worry about having somebody validate us. He's validated. Yeah. He's qualified us. He's anointed us. He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. You don't have to go do nothing special or extra. God's already done the qualifying. Mm-hmm. He made you a partaker in the inheritance of the saints in light. And don't worry about darkness. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about things people do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 13th verse, he's handled that too. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. One translation says, translated us into the kingdom of his beloved son, Son of his love. So you got two things going for you in those two verses. Get to Colossians, the first chapter, and start meditating on that. You have been qualified. You have been validated. You have been approved. You are a partaker in the inheritance, baby.
Amen.
Somebody called you and say, Mocha Jerry, you've got an inheritance, and we just read the will, and you get all this. Well, nobody has to call you in. You already have been a partaker in the inheritance that he's given you. So you got it all. Brother Spence, you ought to be shouting about right now. I don't know what you're doing.
You know what? First of all, hello, everybody. How you doing?
All right. You know, we're feeling wonderful after a word like that, and after the successful segments like that, that God speaks into our lives, brother.
You know what? God is so good. I was listening to you, and a lot of times I listen before I chime in, because I'm preparing myself for the segment, and I heard you say, I'm about to get up and walk around. Mocha Jerry said, I'm walking around already, you know. And the thing with that is this is, see, that just lets you know that God blesses us at different levels, you know. And it was saying how you qualified, but guess what? Mm-hmm. Baby, you was pre-qualified before birth, because, see, it was already scripted. It was already written in the book. So, you know, when it comes down to it, you are already pre-qualified.
Ooh.
And what that means is that you are qualified before you ever thought yourself worthy.
Amen.
I love to see the different depth that God adds through people. God pours And when you said, you know how we get something in the mail, you've been pre-qualified for a credit card, and people feel good about that. You pre-qualified to be a partaker in the inheritance that Jesus gave you. Everything that he's done, will do, you pre-qualified, and you're inheritance in that. You have an inheritance.
Amen. And you know what you were talking about being pre-qualified for a credit card? What that means is that you have already met the requirements before you ever filled out the application, brother.
Amen.
All you got to do is just say, okay, I accept. Whoa!
Okay.
Isn't that what you do when you pre-qualify? Mm-hmm.
You
accept it.
Yep. you accept the offer.
Somebody says, sign right here. Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. You got the inheritance, you sign right here, and we bring all that to you. You've inherited it. You just got it. Just like with salvation, same with the inheritance. You don't got to do nothing else. Just believe. Keep on believing. We shared a testimony before about what God did for 7-8 months with me. I was just, all I had was a word.
Yes, sir.
And God, and I was forgiven a debt of over got up under $20,000 because I believed the word. But my mind was trying to tell me every day, don't believe that.
And if I heard that testimony correct, not only were you relieved of the debt, but your payment is lowered, too.
Lowered $400.
So you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
That means not only did they clear up your past for you, but they've also made you easier, bro. They done made it easier.
You can hear my feet right now.
Stomping the feet.
That's right.
I gotta cut laminate. Michael. Try to say it when you're at church. Cut some laminate. Cut up some wood when you're at home if you didn't get no carpet.
You ain't kidding. Long as you got that two-edged sword called the word, you can do some cutting at all times.
Hey, cutting going.
Yes, sir. You can cut coming, cut going, cut in the field, cut city, because you're already blessed. And I'm gonna tell you again, man. First of all, congratulations on being faithful. You know, congratulations on being steadfast, because the easiest thing to do, Mike, is to throw in the towel and quit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know during that process that they asked you to do a few different things, and sometimes you probably had to send the same thing that you sent already.
Over and over,
but you know what? That's why you got to renew your mind daily. That's why God said, do it over and over, not just today, but do it tomorrow. Not just tomorrow, but doing the next day, too. And even while you were sending that stuff in, all you was doing is just being persistent, persevering, and do it. And listen, and guess what you was doing, Mike? You were doing what they asked you to do, man.
Yes.
And that's how God is. Just do what I asked you to do. See, because God don't tell you to do anything. God let you read the word and decide for yourself how you gonna go from there. And all you were doing in that case, you were doing what you were asked to do for a season, and at the end, he cleared up your path. He cleared up your path, and he actually made it easier for you to live in the future.
Let me share this with you. It was a testimony to my spirit and also the person that called me that gave me the news. He said the same thing you said, but he shared a little bit of a testimony. I call it that. He said it was somebody else in your position, and when I was calling to give them the news, they had already moved the stuff out and signed it away and just gave it. And they could have had all the equity back. And he said, but because I know I called and I said they want this again, or they want that, they want this. He said, you always, every time, without fail, you brought it in, and you always kept your spirit. He said, "With my call in, you had a good disposition." He said, "And I want to applaud you for that. And you earned this. And I'm happy to give this to you." And I was at work, and you talk about somebody in the office. Y'all, and I didn't have to tell y'all what I was doing. And I had to go outside.
Yeah.
And you have to fight your own mind sometimes, Miss Spence.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes your own mind will try to work against you. And I definitely didn't tell other people, oh, you know what you'd have heard. Oh, you crazy. Oh, you know, they always got opinions.
Mm-hmm. You heard what you just said, Mike, and that lines up with the word, too. You know what? God is doing something through this broadcast tonight because
you
said that you had to fight your own mind, you know. See,
mm-hmm.
and the word says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Right.
It's that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, it's just the enemy trying to drop those nuggets. But at the end, you know, at the end of the day, and I'll use the other people, for example, what they did was they packed up and they left 5 minutes before the miracle happened.
Wow.
And that would be my word to anybody tonight. Don't leave before the miracle happens.
Amen, my brother.
Man, I'm about to get up and walk around too.
That's what I'm talking about. You see what God's doing tonight? Somebody, if you don't download the show, last night I was telling Mocha Jay, I said, God showed me something to give to people, and I thought it was going to be harsh. But we have more downloads on that show than we have in the past few weeks.
Yes.
When we do what God says,
that's
when we see results. Because a lot of times we want to cater to the flesh. And, you know, say sometimes as ministers and as pastors, you got to be careful. Don't be trying to go after the people saying amen all the time. Or people going, oh, yeah, Pastor, you know you own it now. You better bypass that and tell mm-hmm. them what God says. Because that's what's going to get them through. That's what got me through is what God says. Not even what Michael said. Because Michael has mycologies. Smoker geologies, mythologies that he can tell himself all the time too. But we got to push past our ideologies and get to what God said, and that's what's going to get us through. And you know what? Right now, having come through that, I'm stronger. Somebody can tell me something, I can look at God's word and say, I don't believe you. I believe the word.
Yeah.
I believe what the Bible says more than I believe my own mind or my emotions. We better take a break real quick because, Brother Spence, I know you. I know if we've done anything, we fired you up. We about to. He's just like that. What do you call it? The slingshot, Mocha Jay.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to fire now.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready, Brother Spence is coming up with Recovery Corner. He's got something powerful you. Get ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We'll be right back in just a few. I'm going to leave y'all live, so you don't have to meet yourselves.
Want answers quickly to any question you have? Want to solve any problem or issue almost immediately? Well, the Help Bus website has amazing resources that will help you quickly improve any area of your life. The Help Bus will greatly assist you with your health, finances, business, education, job, home, garden, family, parenting, and so much more. Also get 2 free gifts when you visit the website at helpbus.net. So why not visit right now?
YFS.com.
Yeah, I know, Lord, that you told me a just man can fall 7 times and he'll rise again. And I know that we fall down, but we can get up again. The truth of the matter is, Lord, I just don't want to fall no more.
I don't want to fall.
I know you forgave me of my sins.
not the only one.
I don't wanna fall, no.
Feel the same way you feel.
I don't want to fall no more because I've gone through the fire. I've gone through the flood. I've gone through going beyond what I think, and I believe God, and I don't have to fall no more. Brother Spence, I'm excited about what's going to happen over the next few minutes. I'm anticipating what God is going to speak to you and through you, and I'm telling you, people, get ready. This is a man of God worthy of turning off the TV, worthy of getting everything out of your way. Brother Spence is here with Recovery Corner. We let you go forth. You have the levers of the Narcom Express. Go forth, my brother.
Amen. Hallelujah. And thank you, amen. Jesus. I appreciate this moment. I appreciate this time. I appreciate this ministry. I appreciate what God has done for me. I appreciate what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I just thank God for having a second chance. Hallelujah. And you know what? I'm going to do something different tonight. As a rule, I would go to our foundation scripture, but you know what? You guys have set the foundation tonight already, that the foundation has been set. And once the foundation is set and put in place, the only thing you have to do is build upon that, because the foundation is actually what levels what comes after that. Because if the foundation is uneven, then guess what? Everything else is out of way. But you guys have definitely laid the solid foundation through Christ, and I thank you for that tonight. And, you know, I'm going to speak this real fast. I was sitting out in the backyard with my wife the other day, and we were talking about experiences, and we were talking about Cooley High School, and that's where I went to school in Detroit. And she was asking me about the whoever sang that song in the movie Cooley High, How Do I Say Goodbye to Yesterday? You know, and I was telling her who it was. I was like, you know, Boys and Men sang this, and she pulled it up on YouTube, and we began to play it, and I was listening to it. And Mike, God led me to a message that I had preached already.
Wow.
And it was like, how do I say goodbye to yesterday? And I was listening to it, and it was saying, I take the memories with me to be my sunshine after the rain. It was talking about all of that. But it always goes back to the hook that says, how do I say goodbye to yesterday? See, and a lot of times what we have done is we have cleaned up and stepped past our yesterdays, but we don't know how to say goodbye to it. We don't know how to let go. We don't know how to let go of that yesterday. So guess what? I'm going to tell you. It led me to a message, and it comes out of Luke 16:19-25. And I'm not going to read it all, but what it is, it's about Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man and Lazarus.
Right.
And what it says was that Lazarus, in fact, you know what, I am going to read just a little bit. And 16 through 19, and I'm in Luke, it says, There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And that just means lavishly. And it says that, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And when it says it was laid at his gate, that means he was actually brought to the gate, and he was laid at his gate full of sores. And it says that all he really wanted were the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And he was in such bad shape that the dogs had to come and lick his sores to give him relief. Mm. And when it came to pass that the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
Wow.
And the rich man also died, and he was buried. And then what happened was, in hell, the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And seeing Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And what it says right after that, it says, Abraham said, son, remember that that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise lacked evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And when I read this, Mike, it was just so deep to me, because I spoke on this before, and God has brought out some different points to me, because I'm going back to verse 20, and it says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus that was laid at the gate, laid at his gate, the rich man, full of sores. And again, laid in this case mean he was brought to. He was brought to the gate. You know, God dropped something in my spirit. He was, you know, and what it was this here. I said, here Lazarus is and he's hungry. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say he was a cripple. It doesn't say that he was, he couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. But it just said that for all practical purposes, he was a bum and he was hungry.
Right.
And it said that he was brought to the gate and laid there. And I was saying to myself, and when I was reading it, I was saying, it don't say that he couldn't walk. It didn't say he was in a wheelchair. It didn't say any of that stuff. It just says that he was a bum and he was hungry. Mm-hmm. So what I thought was, I said, why didn't the people who brought him to the gate, why didn't they feed him?
Mm-hmm.
The same people that brought him, why didn't they just feed him?
Mm-hmm.
And see, it brought me to the saying, which I say all the time, am I my brother's keeper?
Hmm.
A lot of times what we do, Mike, instead of helping somebody through their situation, it's easier for us to pass them off to somebody else.
Mm.
Easier for us to take them and lay them at the gate than bring them to our house and give them a sandwich and some chips.
Mm.
Yeah, it's easier to say, I don't have any money, when you just got paid and you see a man standing out at the gas station, beard matted, full of mange, and hands dirty, saying, can I please have a dollar? Because he's so busy worried about what he going to do with the dollar. All he going to do is this. All he going to do is that. See, but the Bible says, you give, and it shall be given to you.
Yeah.
It says, you give, and it'll be given to you. It don't say you give, and based on what somebody else does with it, your blessing is tied into that.
You're preaching to us. You're preaching to us, the church. Yep.
And that just jumped out at me. It says that he was brought to the gate. How many times have we brought, we helped our brothers to somebody else's gate and left them there?
Wow.
And knowing that, you know, God is so good, and it just said all he wanted was something to eat. It didn't say he was asking for money. It didn't say he wanted a place to stay. It didn't even say he wanted to sit at the main table. He just wanted the crumbs.
The crumbs.
How many times have people said, will you give me a quarter, anything, just the crumbs out of your pocket, and we walk past them as Christians?
Wow.
How many times have we walked past somebody at the gas station as ministers?
Wow.
With money in our pocket and won't give them the crumbs. And I'm asking for 20 or 50. Can I have a quarter? I don't have it. And jump up in my new truck and drive off with my big rims. Just a crumb. But guess what? It says that it came to pass.
Yes, sir.
That the dogs had to take care of him. See, God keep a ram in the bush to where, if people won't take care of you, he'll send the dog to lick your sores. When people won't feed you, You're seeing a raven, a dirty, nasty bird to bring you meat while you're at the brook. See, it just don't matter. It don't matter. Because, see, when God says it shall come to pass, see, God got that Malcolm X mentality, by any means necessary.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
That's right.
And then it says in 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. Now, the rich man, he woke up, and you know, he lifted up his eyes, and he's in hell, and he's being tormented. And he saw Abraham off afar and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, and he said, Abraham, have mercy on me.
Wow.
And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. Now, I'm going to dissect this for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have Lazarus, the bum.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the rich man calling out to Father Abraham.
Yes.
And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I need some help. Then Lazarus may dip the tip of his dirty fingers, he's still the same dirty dude, his dirty finger in water and cool my tongue.
Wow.
But my question is this. He was speaking to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
He called out to Abraham. And Abraham had answered him.
Mm-hmm.
But my question was, Mike, if he was talking to Abraham, did he say, send Lazarus to come and help me, to come?
Wow.
Why did he say, send Lazarus? See, because even after Lazarus is being comforted and taken off by the angels, even after death, the rich man still saw Lazarus as the nobody that he used to be.
Wow.
He still saw him. You see, he still saw him for what he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people look at us.
Wow.
See, I used to be a whoremonger, but now I'm a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when I go to preach, somebody gonna sit there and say, I remember he used to be hoeing. Just like Lazarus. You know, they always want to look and remember you for what you were.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when you see somebody in the dance ministry, in the praise dance ministry, and she giving God the glory, you know what they say? I remember she used to be out there tricking on such and such a street. See, God will take it to whereas he will take you from sliding up and down on a pole for money to sliding up into the choir stand to give him some glory.
He will
take you places you never thought you would go and keep you there longer than you ever expected to stay.
Wow.
Yes, he will.
You hear me? And
yes.
That's how people be. Hey, I remember he was a crackhead. Now he called himself a little deacon or a little preacher.
More people do.
And it always goes back. And that's what the rich man saw in Lazarus. He wasn't nothing but a gopher then. Send him to me. Send him down here. But you know what's beautiful? You know what's beautiful?
What's that?
In 26, that I didn't get a chance to read, but it said, when he says, you had a life of luxury, and Lazarus went through, says now he's comforted, and you tormented. But in 26, it says this, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us. That will come from this. So what? When I read that, it says, beside all this, it says between us and you. And when I was looking at that, it said between us, the ones in heaven. It said between us. Lazarus was part of the us. See,
That's right.
We ain't never alone. Us is plural. We ain't never alone. As long as we got King Jesus, we don't need anybody else.
Right.
That's right.
It says between us. But if you ain't got God, guess what? It's just you.
That's right.
Between us. The Bible says, with two or three gather my name, guess what? He's already and you by yourself, with your bad self, I don't need nobody. I don't need you. And guess what? What you're doing is really not realizing, but you're on the other side of the great divide.
That's right.
And guess what? It gets to a point to where if you don't straighten up and get yourself together, God will turn you over to a reprobated mind to where you can't get back to the other side.
Come on.
That's that great divide. That's that great gulf. That's that big chasm. That's the point of no return.
Beautiful.
God is so good, man. People will, I'm telling you, seeing Lazarus over here. The butler, being Lazarus the bum. Well, guess what? That's what he used to be.
Wow.
Because guess what? One thing I know for sure, and it don't say it, but guess what? He wasn't hungry no more. One thing I know, but it don't say it, his body wasn't full of sores no more. One thing it didn't say, but I know for sure, he didn't need nobody to drop him off because he had arrived.
Right. Okay.
Wow. Why catch a cab to go somewhere where you're already at? He had arrived. And you know what? Out of all of this, guess what Lazarus said?
What's that?
Not a word.
Didn't have to.
Because, and listen, it says, the headline says, the rich man and Lazarus. But through it all, it never says that Lazarus said anything. And it just lines up with the scripture. If you just hold your peace and let Jesus fight your battles. You too can be in the bosom of Abraham.
I'm looking at this book right now by Dr. Michael Sadler. It says when to speak up and when to shut up. He didn't have to say nothing.
He never said a word. Call Lazarus. Hey, Lazarus, come in. Seeing Lazarus over here. He was a flunky back in the day. Seeing Lazarus back over here. He used to clean my car out for a dollar when he was on crack. Seeing Lazarus over here.
Your brother.
No, she used to sleep with the whole block for a hit. Seeing so and so over here. He would do anything for a drink. But that was then. And this is now.
Right.
And one thing about being in somebody's bosom, brother, you close that life force, which is the heart.
Yeah.
He's one close. You closer to the heart of God than you ever was.
Right.
Amen. Man, God is so good. You hear me?
Yes.
Yes, he is. And you know what? The beautiful thing about that is God set the firmament in the heaven and separated the heavens from that portion of the heavens even before he even created man. So that it was already fixed. That's why he said, you know, even if we could, we can't, because God already fixed it. In time, you had a chance to change. In time, you had a chance to open up your doors and gates and let Lazarus in if you had time.
Right.
In time, y'all could have walked back and forth. Y'all could have been friends. But you crossed over, and Lazarus crossed over, and it's fixed. It's a gulf. Right. He can't, even if we, if I wanted to, I can't even do it, because God set it in order.
Right.
And I'm telling everybody that's listening now, God set it in order for you. You've got time to change. You've got time to humble yourself. You got time to stop being thinking that you're above and not beneath.
You've got time to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've got time to repent. You know,
man,
at this point, we're about to... Go ahead, sir.
Man, go ahead and piggyback, Peach. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that you've got time to accept Jesus. We talked about at the beginning of the broadcast, you know, that man says, there ain't no God. I'm an atheist. No, you're not. No, because you got the spirit in you. That's God's spirit. You've got
right.
faith that God exists in you. Stop saying you don't believe in God. You're lying to yourself,
mm-hmm.
trying to find the truth in unrighteousness. And that's an oxymoron.
Hey.
Trying to come to the truth.
Hey, and you know what? Even if you don't believe in God, God still believe in you.
He believes in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're still living.
It ain't never too late until
mm-hmm.
it's too late. And when it's
mm-hmm.
too late, then it is too late. And I tell anybody, if you're not willing to change, just take a good look around where you're at, because that's as good as it's going to get.
Yep, mm-hmm. that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got about 60
okay.
seconds to pray this prayer with me right now, because we're about to sign off in just a little bit, right? It's at 10 o'clock.
Go ahead, man.
Receive Christ in your heart. All it says, and you can look at Romans, the 10th chapter, and the 9th verse. I'm just going to lead you through this prayer. Just pray this prayer with me. I'll tell you at the end of the broadcast, we're going to give you this opportunity to just say this prayer with me. You can bow your head. You can keep your eyes open. You can look up. Just pray this prayer. Jesus, Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for your Son that came, lived on the earth, was the example he was to be for us, and then he died and he rose again. I believe that. What they've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, I've been listening in, and I was waiting for this opportunity, and now I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sin. I've been arrogant. I've been alcoholic. I've been drunk. I've been all crazy stuff. But now I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to sit on the throne of my heart. I repent for being those things, and I put those things behind me, and I forget those things that's behind me, and I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press.
Yes, sir.
I receive you as
Amen.
My Lord and Savior. I'm saved, and I believe that I am according to your word, and I get up now, and I walk in the newness of life in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you make sure you get in touch with us. We already gave you the information how to get in touch with us. We don't have the time to do it now. Just go back and listen to the last show, the show before last. You find out how to get in touch with Mocha J, Brother Daryl Spence, and myself, and Shawan. We're here for you. We love you. We're about to sign off. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for receiving
Thank
Jesus
you.
Christ as your Lord and Savior, for entering
yes.
into a new walk with him.
Yeah.
You won't be caught in that gulf, trying to ask somebody to come dip their fingers in the water and come to put out the flame in your life. You've accepted Christ in your life. You're a new creature. Old
yes.
things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. You've been changed, my brother, my sister. All right, we love you. We want nothing but the best that God
yes.
has to happen in your life. We thank you for tuning in. Continue to tune in, because that's what we're here for. We're going to do this thing until Jesus comes, if possible. And you'll be able to see us starting next week. Keep praying for us that God brings it on the path. We're going to say good night. Let's hear a word from our sponsor for about 15 seconds, and we're going to log on off and go catch the train on back to the house. We love you.
Okay.
Need an internet information website where you can get answers quickly to any question without searching for hours? Well, why not visit a website called The Help Bus at helpbus.net? Again, that's The Help Bus at helpbus.net. Why not visit right now?
All right, y'all, let's go train. It's time to go.
All right.
Time to go in the house.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Here comes the train.
And that's how I say goodbye yesterday. Adios, amigos. Love you.
Later.
See y'all next Monday.
Next Monday. Enjoy your weekend.
Hit it one time.
Here we go.
That's real good.
That's real good.
Good night, y'all.
All right,
good
folks.
Night.
Hey, great job. Thank you, and thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for being on. Thank you, Mocha J. We love you guys. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.